Your life can turn around in an instant. You can be living in the blessing of health and healing today. Join Gloria Copeland as she continues her teaching, Speaking Words of Faith Brings Healing, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and we're talking about being healed now, today. It's the will of God for us to prosper. It's the will of God for us to be healed. Hallelujah, according to God's own word. So today we're going to continue to talk about healing. And I'm going to start with Proverbs 3. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. Now remember this, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We have no other basis for faith other than the word of God. Signs and wonders is not even the best basis for faith because, you know, you can't just get a sign and a wonder every day of the week. You can't just call one down whenever you want one. But you can release your faith, and your faith in God, based on the Word of God, will cause that sign and a wonder. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, start off with Proverbs 3. If you don't have the Amplified, I'll just read it to you. We're going to do 1 through 5, I believe. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, before Ken and I had the word in our heart and we decided we would obey the word, we didn't live in victory. We survived, but there was no victory. There was no abundance, and we just had to do the best we could with the little dab of the word that we had. But there came a time when we said, we see what we must do. We've got to get the Word of God in front of our eyes, in our ears, so it gets down in our heart and it talks to us. And we begin to learn how to walk by faith. Now listen to this scripture in Proverbs 3. My son, and things begin to change. And they still change. I mean, you know, faith, once you get hold of it, unless you go backwards, you got it. I mean, you can keep doing the same thing. Hallelujah. You can continue to prosper. You can continue to be healed. You have to have the Word of God. Why do you have to have God's Word? Well, that's the only basis for faith. God says it. I put it in my eyes. I put it in my ears. I let it get down in my heart. And then Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I bring it back out of my heart, through my mouth, and I say it. And we know that Jesus taught us in Mark 11, we can have what we say. In fact, whether we want it or not, that's we have what we say. You may not be a faith person, and you might have a negative mouth saying, I'm never going to get out of this hole. I'm never going to get out of debt. We've been in debt forever. We'll never get out of debt. What's wrong with that picture? You're not ever going to get out of debt. Why? Because Jesus said we could have what we say. Faith says we can have what the Word says. So if we say what the Word says from our heart, out our mouth, it begins to manifest. But if we say what the curse says out our mouth, it begins to manifest. So you have to get a grip on your words. And that's how faith operates, is by words. We won't have time to get into faith, but we got lots of teaching on faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith goes by saying the same thing about your situation that God says. So you look up scriptures. If it's money you need, look up scriptures about prosperity and blessing. Now listen to this. Chapter 3 in Proverbs in the Amplified says, my son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. See, we become a covenant-keeping people with our heart. And out, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So we talk the covenant. We talk the word. We receive it. We take it. Now it says, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments or my ways. Let your heart keep my ways. For length of days and years of a life worth living. Now, this is what we want. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to live long, live strong, live healed, live prosperous. Well, so how am I ever going to die? Well, here's how you die. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. This is just your earth suit. How do you die? You, the spirit man, leaves your body. You are the life of this body. And that's what happens at death. People leave their body. Their spirit leaves their body. The body's left here. Other people have to take care of the body, bury it, put it in a box, dress you up, get you a new dress, do your hair. Hey, you won't be there. If you know Jesus to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, this is Proverbs 3, 1, now 2. For length of days and years of a life worth living and tranquility, inward and outward. Now get a grip on this. Continuing through old age till death. That's what the Amplified says. These shall the Word of God, shall they, the Word of God, add to you. So according to this, old age ought to be good. I mean, old age ought not be somewhere where we just kind of fade away. Length of days and years of a life worth living and tranquility inward, outward, that's in our circumstances, and continuing through old age. Hallelujah. Those of you who are fully grown in old age, the blessing is still for you. You don't have to give up on the blessing. Say, well, I don't work anymore. I don't earn money anymore. Well, God says we can be blessed through old age. You continue to serve God, tithe, bless the Lord. God will continue to bless you. Hallelujah. I just love this scripture. For length of days, long life in other words, and years of a life worth living and tranquility inward and outward or in your circumstances and continuing through old age till death. Or you could say continuing through old age till your departure. That's what death is. That's what death is, whether you go up or down. Whether you go to the right place or the wrong place, death is a departure out of your body. And it is a being coming into the presence of your God. So if you've been born again, when you die, your spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, your spirit will leave your body and your body will be dead. But you won't be there. You won't be in that body. We're not going to close your spirit up in that casket. No. You'll be gone, and then your family and your loved ones will take care of your body, and hey, you'll probably look better than you did when you were in it. I mean, your body will probably look better. I mean, they'll paint you up, they'll buy you a new dress, do all this, or a new suit. You won't be there. You won't be there whether you know the Lord or you don't know the Lord. Where you'll be is determined by who is your God. If you are still under the dictates of Satan, you've never been born over again, then you'll go right into his presence, and you do not want to be there. Hell is no place to be. But if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, when your spirit leaves your body, the Bible says about you, if Jesus is your Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. I'm telling you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't go another day. Don't go another day without doing it. Just say right now, just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Take my life and do something with it. So I kind of got sidetracked now. I've got to see back where I am. But length of days, years of a life worth living, tranquility, inward, outward, and continuing through old age till death or through old age to your departure, these shall the commandments add to you. Hallelujah. the commandments, keeping the Word of God. You think, well, I just don't think I could do that. Well, you grow up in Him. You don't just get born again and then the next day you're a spiritual giant. No, you continue in the Word. You continue under a good pastor. You continue under teachers teaching you the Word like Ken and I do. And you grow and you get stronger and stronger and your mind gets renewed. That's what happens to us when we grow up in the Lord. We learn how to think Bible. Now, you can't learn how to think Bible watching secular TV or the soap operas, or you can't even learn how to think Bible going to a church that doesn't teach you the Bible. No, you get in the Bible, you learn it. You know, I didn't know anything about being born again when I married Ken. He knew because his family were of a denomination that taught it. Where I went to church, they didn't teach you anything about anything that would help you. And so I didn't know how to be born again. But I got born again all by myself. When Ken and I married, we were in trouble. We didn't have any money. We couldn't pay bills that he already had. And when we married, and here's if you've read much about my life, you know that I had a rented rollaway bed, and we had a black and white television that had a picture on it this high because it was broken. Instead of going like this, it went like this. Ken was out looking for a job. I didn't have a refrigerator. I didn't have a stove. We had a cardboard box. It was wintertime. We had a cardboard box on the porch of this little rented house, and that was our refrigerator. We had a coffee pot that Ken's mother had given him. It was one of those kind that come apart, and the bottom of it would boil, and I cooked potatoes in that coffee pot. See, it doesn't matter where you start. It's that you get born again, and then you begin to walk in the Word, and you begin to prosper because you see God wants you to prosper. It's worth life, the long life and years of a life worth living. Tranquility inward and outward. Well, I didn't have much outward tranquility. I didn't have anything. A cardboard box on your porch is not conducive to tranquility. But I'll tell you what, I got born again. I was reading Ken's mother, who prayed for him all the time, and she was very upset when he married me. She didn't know me, but she didn't think I was the one for him. And so she was very upset. And she started praying for me because she was stuck with me. And she was, of course, praying for her baby boy. He's her only child. Her, as they used to say where I came from, her spotted calf. And she prayed for him. Now she has to pray for me because she's stuck with me. And so she was praying, and I picked up a Bible that she had given Ken, and it said this. In the front of it, she had written, "Ken Precious, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." Well, hey, I was still carnal, you know. I didn't know anything about the new birth. I got born again, didn't know anything about the new birth. And so I thought, hey, this scripture, but I did know the Bible. I mean, I did appreciate the Bible. I believe the Bible. I saw there where God in that same scripture cares for the sparrows, the birds. And I thought, well, if God cares for the birds, He cares for me. So here's what I said. I said, "Lord," I was desperate. We had no money. I had a rented rollaway bed that went down in the middle. I had a couple of lawn chairs that my mother had given me, a coffee table that Ken made in shop. You can imagine. I wish I still had it. I'd enshrine it. And a cardboard box on the we were living in an empty house that we rented. Cardboard box on the porch with my refrigerator. I said, "Lord." And I saw where God, I was reading that, where Ken's mother gave the scripture at the beginning, that God cares for the sparrows. He cares for the birds. Out of Matthew. And I thought, well, you know, I wasn't hard to believe. I just never had heard anything good. I thought, well, if God cares for the sparrows, God cares for me. And so I prayed, "Lord, take my life and do something with it." Think about that. I mean, I was so ignorant of what God had for me, but I got just a little light from the inscription in that Bible. She had said, "Ken Precious." Here's what she had written. "Ken Precious, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Well, I didn't have any trouble believing. I just hadn't heard anything. So I said, "Lord, take my life and do something with it." Well, Ken was out looking for a job. I'd been home reading that. You know, it doesn't take you long to dust the furniture when you've only got a rollaway bed and a homemade table made in shop. And so I said, "Take my life and do something with it." And I began to read the Word, that Bible. It was a New English translation. I'd never seen one before. I saw where God cared about the birds, and I thought, well, if God cares about birds, He cares about me. See how the Word does? That's the way light comes on the fact that God wants to prosper you. You look in the Word and you begin to see that He wants to prosper you. That's the way light comes on healing. This scripture says, "For length of days and years of a life worth living, tranquility, inward and outward," that's in your circumstances, "continuing through old age till death or till your departure, these shall they," tranquility and blessing and continuing through old age, "these shall they add to you." Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Word of God. Now, you might just be flipping through the channels today and you don't know who I am and you don't even care, but your life's miserable. That's because you need help. We all need help. Even if you had money and you don't have peace, you're not happy. And so we get into the Word. We say, "Jesus." Jesus is the Savior. He's the one the Father sent. So we say, "Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life." Say what I said to Him that day. "Take my life and do something with it." And you know what? He does it. He takes your life. I got born again. It was a little while before I even knew what had happened to me. But in just a very short time, a few days after that, Ken got a job. Hey, things are looking good. We had that rented rollaway bed, and we had a coffee table and a TV that was broken, and the picture was this high on it. But now we got a job, hallelujah. Flying airplanes, too, just what he wanted. Bless the Lord. So then, shortly after that, Ken's mother and dad, now I'm just as ignorant as you could be about the Bible. I've heard the wrong thing about God all my life. I heard healing had passed away. Healing's passed away. That's sad, isn't it? But you know, people told me that at church. I didn't know any difference because I didn't know what the Bible said. I didn't know, have any idea God wanted to prosper you in every way. He wanted to bless you. I didn't know about the blessing. All I'd heard was don't do this and don't do that. And you know, it was just nothing much positive about it. So I began to read the Bible. And then God began to put laborers across our path. Ken's mother and dad invited us. They were Spirit-filled. Ken's mother and dad invited us to a meeting in a little town in Texas. And he bought me a new dress. Glory be to God. Hey, I'm liking this. I got a new outfit to go to church. And so we went down there and we received the Holy Spirit. Because we didn't, you know, hey, this sounds good to us. We're ready to receive anything. So they gave an invitation, and Ken asked his mother if that's something he should do. And yeah, and then somehow I got up there with him, and we received the Holy Spirit. And things, the Word began to come alive. Things began to change. Now, I'm telling you that because I want you to know that your life can turn around today. Today, you can make a decision to give your heart. I don't care if you're in debt, if you're sick, the doctor said that you're terminal, you can't, you know, there's no way medicine can heal you. Well, that may be true, that medicine can't heal you, but healing is for you. Jesus, we find from the Word, Himself bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases when He bore your sins. So He bore our sins. That's why we can make Him the Lord of our lives and get born over again. start over again. And the Bible calls that a new creature. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then you find out that He bore your sicknesses. He bore your sins, Isaiah 53 says. Isaiah 53 says He bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. Galatians 3 says that Jesus bore the curse for us, that He took the curse for us. And it says that Jesus was made a curse for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now that's where life starts. I'm telling you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you say right now, Jesus, I receive You as my Lord and Savior. I receive You. I take You. All you got to do is just take Him. Take your salvation. I make You the Lord of my life. Tell Him what I said to Him. Take my life and do something with it. He never turns anybody down. Jesus, you find in Isaiah that He became a curse for us. He right here in Proverbs, it says that length of days and years of a life worth living, inward and outward, belong to us. Well, Jesus has borne the curse. He's done it. And all we have to do is receive Him and we can get out from under the curse. No, you won't go to hell when you die. Why? Because you've been born over again and sin is gone. Now, it take you maybe some time to learn how to walk in it, your freedom, your new life. That's why you need to find a good church and get into it. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Chenway from New York, and she's had a great thing happen to her today. Tell us.
Praise God. I just graduated from college in May, and my sophomore year, I started having pain in my shoulders, and it would tingle down my arm and into my fingers. And I was an English major, so that was like a big deal because I was used to typing for hours on end. And so I went to physical therapists, and they said, okay, Chenway, try and take it easy, maybe an hour of typing and then break for 30 minutes. So I tried that and I still had the shoulder tightness and the tingling down my arm and into my fingers. And I'm a righty, so I would have to write with my left hand in class and I couldn't read any of my notes. And it was really, you know, getting in the way. And so I just kept believing God for a miracle. This has been going on for 3 years now. And so I came on Thursday with my mom from New York City, really believing God. And this morning when I was sitting over there with my mom, the pain went away, no tingling. And so I thank God so much for the miracle. So I thank God and I thank you, Sister Gloria. God bless you and the Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
Thank you for giving that good testimony. Hallelujah. Chenway did the right thing. She got to where the Word was being preached, and you remember that. Get in the meetings. It's good on TV and all that, but there's not anything like hearing the Word where you got thousands of other people in there listening to the Word. The anointing is so strong. Glory to God. We invite you to come to the meetings. Make your plans. Find out where we are. Come wherever it is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You go to kcm.org, you'll find out our where we're going, and you come be with us. And also, a lot of them are on the internet, you know, even live. So there's no reason this day and hour for you not to know and understand the Word. Today is offering day. We're receiving the offering, and I'm going to give you a good scripture to act on, one that meant a lot to me. It helped me. It helped me when I needed help. I didn't know very much about the Word and receiving. Remember that this Amplified, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. So if you want to reap sparingly, then sow sparingly. But that's not the way I wanted to reap. He who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. So that's where we want to be. We want to be sowers. We want to help people. We want to sow into the church, into the ministry. We want to sow. We want to be sowers. We're putting seed out that's going to bring us a crop. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. When it comes to giving, we listen to the Lord. He knows what we need to sow. He knows what's coming up down the line. He prepares us. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposes in his heart, not reluctant or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in and prizes above all other things and is unwilling to abandon a quick to do. He is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. So when you sow today, put your heart into it. And here's the result. Verse 8. And God is able. God can do this thing. He can bless you. He can increase you. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, I like that, always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Father, I pray over everybody's offering today. I pray blessing upon them in the name of Jesus. We come into agreement that as they sow, they shall reap 100-fold. Come back to them in Jesus' name. Ministering spirits, go. Cause money to come to the people of God. We agree on it. We touch it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. This is Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher welcome you to the Behind the Mission Weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina, April 8th and 9th in the Westin Charlotte Hotel. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Events Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.